All right, today is Wednesday, May 15, 2013, for our semi-monthly group sales marketing call. Okay, so it's been a few weeks. It's been actually we didn't have our last group call 2 weeks ago, so it's been a while. So what has everybody been doing for their sales and marketing? Does anybody have anything that they'd like to share, that any new developments on their marketing? I know some of you have been sticking a little closer to the sales and marketing plan. I've been working with some of you individually and some of you not. So what's been working, what hasn't been working, and what do we need to look at? So does anybody have anybody want to go first to share their experience over the last couple weeks? Okay. Alice, are you on the phone?
Oh, crap. Yes, I am.
I'm picking on you because you have done the best, in my opinion, over the past couple of weeks, not only with your effort, meaning really sticking to it and just putting it out there and just doing the things that that we talk about on our one-on-one, but you've been great as well with the attitude going into this. You're very open to it, and lastly, I think that you've been seeing the results the most out of anybody. So why don't you kind of just give us a little bit of a rundown of what you've done? I mean, some of the things we've talked about is you've gotten into facilities that you've never been able to get into before.
Right. Well, the first thing that actually kind of turned me on was that, I'm not sure, that urgent thing that you sent us or that we went through over the phone.
Right, yep.
And what I did was I actually have it up on my my desk here in the office, and it says in the book to stay north of that line where you're looking at urgent and important and not urgent but important. And so that's what I've been trying to do. So nothing actually really kind of takes my focus away, and I can tell when it does, but nothing takes my focus away from getting out. And, if the people back here in the office can't take care of it, then I'll just take care of it when I get back here, when I can get back here. And as far as getting into the facilities, the objections that we came up with when we did the thing with Melanie, that helped a lot, because I had one just the other day. Somebody says, I'll just put you on the list. And I said, oh, okay. Oh, the list.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I said, well, they said, we really don't do very much, maybe one or two. And I said, well, one is all you need, and I would certainly be glad to help out even for just one. So, and it's just stuff like that. I don't really care if they like me being there. I need to be there to find out if I'm coming back. And I guess that's the biggest thing. I haven't really been afraid to go in, because I'm already not in anyway, and so if they don't want me to come back, or if they tell me that I don't need to be there, or that they don't have any business for me, then I'm already not there. So it really doesn't matter after that.
Right. So when you take the fear factor out of it, and the fear part of it goes away with time, and everybody has a level of fear going into someplace new, I think, the first time. And it's no different for any of us. You know, even in our own experience, in my own experience, when each one of you originally called us to inquire about, getting involved with Age Advantage as a franchisee, and you came out to Discovery Day, we have a level of fear as well. And it's really not that much of a difference, except for the fact that you asked to be here as opposed to you going into someplace else. But what happens is, over time, with repetition, I believe that fear goes away. And it gets easier and easier, and it comes to a point where you don't have fear anymore. And so, Alice, it sounds to me like you're getting close to that point where it's kind of flipping, where it's almost like a challenge now.
Yeah, and I really don't mind it. It doesn't come real natural to me, so I really do have to work at it. So it's just not natural. I wish it was, but I've put some tools that I can use, and when I start feeling that way and everything, I just get them out. I know how to handle it.
Right. Okay. And what about the facility? You said that there was a couple of facilities that you had gotten and gotten referrals from that you'd never been in before, or had never been able to get referrals out of before.
Right. And I attribute one of those to an orange cranberry scone from Starbucks.
Okay.
I don't know what happened on this particular day, but I must have just hit the social worker just right, and she, you know, she loves me after that. But actually, she's the one who went to another facility, and now I'm getting referrals from her in that facility. So they move around a lot. So
yep.
The relationship
yep.
that you're building at one facility is, you know, you never know where that person's going to go.
Yep. Awesome. And food, people love food, right?
Yes,
right, Jen?
They love food.
Jen's
and
the
alcohol.
Jen's the, well, yeah. I don't know if you could take an alcohol at the job, but Jen's the master of food and beverage there in Winter Garden. So anything else, Alice? We'll transition over to Jen.
No, actually, the only thing that I can say is doing that important, non-urgent, urgent thing, but also making up the roles and the goals thing.
Uh-huh.
It helped me to have something in front of my face instead of something that was kind of on the computer, because you're not always looking at your computer.
Yep.
Doing that weekly and making sure that you have something to go into the week with, because if not, then you're going to be floundering around come Monday afternoon trying to figure out, what am I going to do for the rest of the week?
And how important has it been for you to have me as your accountability person every Monday?
Well, I hurry up and get that thing done over the weekend so I can have it ready on Monday.
Yeah. And then you have a plan for the week.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. Awesome.
Next.
Thanks for sharing, Jen. So you're the master of food and beverage and partying over there in Winter Garden. And
yeah.
What's been going on with you? Because Jen's been out. For those of you that don't know, the reason why she hasn't been on a lot of the phone calls is because she was in leadership training with a local group. Now, is that something that you put together, or was that something you were just participating in?
No, that's through the local Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
They have a leadership. It's a 9-month program, and then you graduate, and your picture's in the paper every week, you know, every month that you are doing these activities. So your name and pictures, and it's just a lot of community recognition, and then it's a lot of networking within those people, the 21 that were in the, you know, they have the team builder out in the woods, and then you have a day dedicated to the environment, and it's something I always wanted to do, but it's $800. So I really couldn't afford it before to do it, but it just connects you further into the community. So, and you feel like you know you're the go-to person for the community, because people are always asking, oh, what about this, what about that? And now you've been inside these buildings, you've been inside Knox Nursery, you've been, you know, on the North Shore of Lake Apopka, and none of this is making sense. But, yeah, it was a great program, and I lucked out because one of the guy that heads up case management, one of the hospitals, was in my group.
Awesome.
How lucky is that? And then
my
boyfriend's both friends with his boss. It's great. So, I mean, it just, you know, it's those relationships, though, and that's what I spend all of my time doing, is just building relationships and keeping the relationships that it's taken me years to get going, you know, just making sure I go out to lunch with this person and that person. If I need to connect into another building, then I find a person that knows a person in there and get in that way. But it gets a lot easier over time. But most of my marketing is all community marketing. I'm not going in buildings anymore. They know me. I draw them out of buildings. I had a chocolate martini and massage night at my house last Friday when Rod was in Vegas. So all these girls, and it's all women marketers, you know,
yep.
And so they all come out and get massage, you know, they go upstairs and get a table massage or get a chair massage. And then I had a bartender making chocolate martini. So they, you know, it's fun. They all get to network together. So, you know, it's the people from the local assisted living that do the community relationships and people that have from home health owners that have referred me business and even competitors that I share business with because I don't want to go all the way up to Seminole County or whatever. So
yeah.
All those people in one place drinking chocolate martinis, it works.
It is.
And I'm in line for president for the Rotary, and I just do a lot of local marketing.
And those types of activities, those are what I call extracurricular activities. Because they're not a part of, like, a structured plan, right? It's this is more of, like, the root of guerrilla marketing. But, you know, we've said since the beginning that this business is relationship-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jen has been a master at forming these relationships and having these bonds with people that are ironclad. And it's because of those kinds of activities. So, you know, when you can use the top 20 program to start infiltrating and start finding out who's the who, you know, part of the other thing that we always tell people is join the community groups, join the Chamber of Commerce, join the, Jen, you've been really successful with the Rotary Club.
Because we have a medical equipment bank now in the office. So I've got case managers calling me because they need a wheelchair for somebody.
Yep.
Well, they're calling my office, you know? They're
yep.
talking to my people. I'm building relationships that way, and even though it's, you know, going around about the other way, you never know when that person's going to donate a wheelchair and go, oh, but my dad needs help. You know, just you never know where it's going to come from. But it's really opened up a lot of doors for me as far as, you know, and it feels good because I'm giving something back to the community.
And,
so,
and you're having a lot of fun.
And I'm having a lot of fun. I always have a lot of fun.
I would say you have the most fun. And what's your office motto? And I love your office, not slogan, motto. Your office motto.
Motto. Yes, we can. So whenever everybody in my office knows that we don't say no, it does not come out of our mouth ever. We always say yes. We say yes. However. Yes, yes,
right.
However, this might be a better solution. Yes, however, I have to take this. You know, so nobody says no. So it's always yes, we can. And we take a lot of last-minute cases because of that. And, it,
yep.
you know, it doesn't always go well, but it sets a reputation. So.
But when you take those last-minute cases, those discharge planners start to build faith and trust in you.
Yes.
So we never turned down a case. I don't care if it was we had discharge planners that were infamous for the Friday at 5:30 phone
mm-hmm.
call
mm-hmm.
and of somebody that needed 24-hour care, and they were being discharged in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we were always able to staff those because we always had two or three standbys. I mean, when you get to a certain level, you know, you have more and more standbys. But your standby staff, however you do, I know people do it different ways. Some people have full-time salaried standbys. Some people will pay regular caregivers a day or two standby or evenings or whatever. But the important thing is that when you follow the recommendations that we have and have those standbys, then you should be able to take those cases no problem.
Right.
So if you guys need some advice on the standbys, you know, we can please feel free to email me or Daphne, and we can go through a couple of different scenarios with you so that you can have that. Now, remember, too, that this standby, is that we promote this on our website.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody should have some program in place for standbys. And so we'll
mm-hmm.
probably be asking people about that coming up. And then also trying to find solutions so that it doesn't cost, you know, because a full-time standby costs a lot of money. If you're newer, like Chris and Vince, if you're newer, you can use those standbys also as your office personnel in the beginning. So you can mix them, but it's really important to be able to take those last minute cases, because if you become the dependable person, you will then become the go to person. So that's awesome. Thanks, Jen. Do you have anything else you want to share? Anything that's been going on?
We drew out the hospital case managers for a dinner and a show that we do every year for the premiere show that goes on in our little town of Winter Garden. They have a little garden theater which has been renovated. So we do that every year. So we're going to dinner at one of the local restaurants, and then we walk them over to the theater. And I go in on it with a hospice rep and a home health rep and an assisted living. And I always invite my skilled nursing, even though I don't ask them to go in on it with us. I just invite them. So, and we usually invite the social workers from the other assisted livings and not assisted livings, I'm sorry, SNFs, the skilled nursing facilities, as well as the case managers from the hospital. So we have that going on Friday night. So I just
awesome.
Try to make all of my marketing fun now. I did my time driving around in a car and knocking on doors and making the connections. But then when you see the bigger connections, or you can see how you can help somebody, make them look really good, that also works really well. So it's just now all my marketing is just about what can we do that's fun next week, you know?
Right.
So
But in the beginning, though, you had to do that. I mean, you had to go knock on the doors to find those people.
You have to. Oh, yeah. And you have to attend every networking meeting. You have to be on boards and get join stuff and be part, you know, get the relationship. And then everything else is kind of is easier later once you have those relationships. But like Alice said, they change. You know, they're at this facility, now they're at this facility.
Yep.
But sometimes it changes in your favor and sometimes it doesn't.
Yep.
So you just stay on top of where people are moving around and what's going on. And absolutely. You have to come on the pavement for at least 2 or 3 years and ongoing. You can't ever stop.
Right.
Because if you stop marketing, you lose sight and you don't know what's going on anymore, and then nobody wants to communicate with you because you're not the go-to person anymore and you don't know. And then I take other marketers around with me and I go, oh, have you met this person? Do you know this social worker? So now, you know, everybody wants to be a part of that. They're like, can you take me around West Orange? I'm like, sure. So, you know, and you're helping someone else out and they remember that.
Right. Now, when you say other marketers, you're talking about home health care companies and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. And
your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Hello.
Something's going off my phone. I don't know.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
It's my phone. Hold on.
Your message has been sent. Thank you for using T-Mobile voicemail. Goodbye.
Okay, that was weird.
That was weird.
I don't know what that was because we're not on T-Mobile, so sorry. So anyway, I don't want what Jen just said to get lost though because of that. You know what the thing that she said that was so important is that you can't ever stop marketing, because the moment you do, you're no longer relevant.
Right. And you can't put all your eggs in one basket, too, either. I mean, you got to know everybody, because the minute you have this great relationship and all these referrals coming in from this side, it's going to, you know, that person's going to leave for a dime. and go work somewhere else. So, you know, you can't count on that. You got to spread it all out all over the place.
Yeah, so, and, you know, and that's so true. I mean, we had a facility that was, I mean, it was in the bag for us for 8 years. And we pretty much got 80% of their discharge. I mean, we're getting 5 to 6 clients a week out of this one facility.
My goodness.
And nobody else even tried to get in because they couldn't. I mean, literally I had competitors tell me, we don't even market there because we know that you guys have it locked up. And it was nothing more than just doing, you know, the stuff that Jen's talking about. Well, 8 years later, the discharge planner moved. And somebody new came in, and overnight, we no longer got anything out of that facility because she brought in her other agency that she liked to work with from the past facility. So we had to start over is really what it is. And so that's why it's so important what Jen is saying right now is so important because – short term, it doesn't really matter, but when you're talking about long term over the course of 5, 10, 15, you know, 20 years, you've got to be spread, you've got to spread yourself out and you have to be that person to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it can be fun. And Jen proves that.
It can be fun.
All right. Anything else? Thank you. That was good stuff.
Nope.
Okay. Anybody, who's next? Hey, Vince, I'll pick on you because you're new.
No, I'll pick on the new guy, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's been going on with you the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's, you know, working with Melanie is pretty much the priority now that I've been, that I've sent off my state licensure application, which was a big thing hanging over my head, as you know. In Virginia, before I can accept those higher level, full care type patients, I have to have a license in Virginia. So now that that's in the mail, waiting on the, surveyors to schedule that, you know, I'm back on track, with Melanie to work on the top 20, selling, and I've been trying to stick with that, but things within the office in the last couple of weeks of losing an office member, and getting that thing taken care of and getting back with full coverage in the office allows me to focus now that, you know, I've got some consistency. Because it's hard being the new person and getting all that pre-opening stuff done. I worry so much about, you know, the busy stuff, but going back to, a seminar that you did, you know, about the important stuff, unimportant. I mean, that I can see what Alice is talking about where, you know, I can put some of that stuff aside knowing that to train my office staff, the two office staff that I have now, and be confident in how they would be able to take a client call, how would they be able to deal with a caregiver that's trying to seek employment. And now that I'm confident to know that all those things are in place and I can get back to that and follow up with that, it allows me to focus on top 20 selling. This week alone, I went to two. I kind of focus on some lunch and learn activities that goes around in our community, and going to these lunch and learns, including my top 20 appointments that I go to. Like for example, I went to a geriatric sit down rounds that's being given by the Glennon Center, which is the Eastern Virginia Medical School. And during these sit down rounds, there are probably 30 to 40 people within home care, whether it's assisted living, SNFs, things of that, competitors, home care, hospitals, and they all sit down and talk about different cases that the Virginia Medical School handles, and they ask for opinions on how to handle these types of difficult, complicated cases from community-based services. So it's a nice networking opportunity for me because I meet all these people all in one place in this one lunch sit down. So it kind of helps me get on there and add them to my top 20 selling because these people that I never have met are all sitting there at these different lunch and learns. And this coming Thursday, I'm going to a thing called Components of a Geriatric Assessment, again, put on by the Center for Geriatrics and Gerontology. So I'm trying to get out there and sign up for all of these different lunch and learn things because it just allows more networking for me in putting a potential top 20 client on my list.
Great. So now you went to you actually went to a health fair, I believe, a while back, and you met somebody who owned a home health agency, which then you were then to marketed to directly and got a client from. Correct.
I did. I did my first you know, sort of like a health fair kind of thing where there were 300 attendees from the area of churches, and they were all leaders and leadership from churches and the community that sent their representatives to learn about senior. I think it was titled Seniors 101, and it talked about all the different resources from social services to all kinds of different important speakers in the community and how to deal with, of course, gerontology, geriatrics, and the aging population. And also there was 80 exhibitors that were asked to, you know, for a small fee, you know, set up their booths and share their information. So I participated one in the beginning of March, and through that networking, I was able to get a referral, which paid for my little fees just to set up a booth there. So, yeah, those kind of things were getting out there, and I think I'd like to do one or two of those a year just to participate and network with all the other vendors and exhibitors that are going to be there, and not to mention the general public that attends. So, yeah, that absolutely generated a referral for me just participating in that.
Yeah. The real benefit to those health fairs is meeting with the other vendors. You know, in all the years that we did health fairs, I mean, we really didn't get I don't know what everybody else's experience has been as far as direct client referrals out of those health fairs. But the real benefit is getting to know the other vendors and the other people in the community. And, you know, what's important with all of this marketing stuff that we're talking about is, you know, when you meet these people, get their business card and follow up. Hey, let's go to lunch. Let's sit down and talk. Let's, you know, don't go at them as, you know, hey, let me come market to you. If you're doing the top 20 marketing, but you're meeting these other people out in the community, you know, it's more of, hey, let's go to lunch and build a relationship, because the relationships, I don't know if you guys remember this, when Troy Hazard spoke at our conference, but when he talked about this whole, 6 degrees of unity thing, you know, it was the relationship that makes all the difference in the world, with our type of business or service. So just, you know, use these things. I mean, this is what we're hearing over and over for people that are being successful at this, is that they're building those relationships. So
yeah, and from that also, if you recall, Greg, I also called you up about, they also asked me, one of the exhibitors that were there asked me, of course, to come, and they wanted me to do a little in service to them, and I remember I called you up and Daphne and says, wow, what am I going to talk about? And they want me to do an in service to them on what, you know, that kind of thing. So I had two different, it was hospice and home care that asked me to come in and do an in service on them to share with them, since they never heard of Age Advantage. And I jumped on the opportunity to present. But I think more importantly, in a situation like that, they know what we do, and they know what I would offer in terms of personal care, companionship, whatever, but I have to use that advantage to open it up to questions to them and find out more about what they do and what they need than me presenting information that they already knew about. I mean, you know,
yeah,
so.
Because you have to sell yourself.
Exactly, and try to hear what they had to say and what they needed, because I'm there to fill the holes. I'm there to fill the gaps between, you know, what hospice, doesn't provide, or what home care doesn't provide, to the client if they got either better or worse, and how companionship and personal care can fill those gaps, those voids for them. So I was more of a, you know, I'm all ears for you, you know, let me do a question and answer thing and how I can, you know, find out more about what I can do for them. But
great. Awesome. That's great, Vince. Okay, so we're getting close. Who do I have left? Who haven't I picked on yet? I got Imad and Susanna. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
If you Naveen and I have been doing a lot of networking meetings.
You have. You guys have been putting a lot of hours in as well, and I'm really proud of you, and it's been helping you as well, correct?
Yes, and then Naveen is arranging to go out co-marketing with two home health agency reps.
That's awesome.
And one of the social workers that was in a facility in Newport Beach that was closed pretty much to everybody but to the three American Board of Home Care founders, the social worker quit there, and she's working now for a hospice company.
Okay.
One of the big ones. So we met her at a networking meeting last week as well. So she was telling the Bean that her hands are tied. She cannot refer to us from the facility, but now she can.
Now, why did she tell you why her hands were tied? Because that's always the answer that I want from somebody.
That was straight down from management. You do not refer to anybody but Attentive, Amada, and Salas. These are the only three that they can refer to in that facility, particularly this particular facility.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that was
probably
from
something. Huh.
From higher up. So she's not there anymore, which is good. And we don't market there anymore anyway.
Right.
In that area. So we just happened to find her because Naveen hasn't been to Newport for like almost a year.
Yeah.
So we happened to find this person. Now she's working for a hospice company and she does case management. So
That's great.
Said, I have all your information, and as soon as I have a case that you can help me with, I'm going to call you.
Okay, that's awesome. Now make sure that Naveen stays on top of following up with her. And you guys, you know, hospice, when we talk about client ratios or client mixes, and we talk about, like, what your average case is, you know, if you focus on the small, more companionship cases, you know, you can expect your average client to be about $1,000 a month, okay? But if you focus on those live-in cases and hospice, your average client will actually go up. Ours was up to almost $3,500 a client. So every time that we signed a client, on average, we knew that that client was going to be worth somewhere between, you know, $3 to $3,500 a month, every single month.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the reason why our ratios were higher was because we didn't go after the small cases. When we marketed to the facilities, we asked for those harder cases. When we got a hospice case that was 24/7, we did everything possible to make sure that that case went smooth and top priority. And we had the field supervision on it all the time. And look at the policies about the field supervision. You know, that word spreads, and then you end up getting more hospice cases. And, you know, you guys know that those cases a lot of times will be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you only need, you know, four or five of those clients, and your net income is, like, going to be up to $10,000.
Yeah.
So it happens really, really fast, but you've got to have it, you've got to be ready for it, and you got to focus on it. So that's really encouraging because I know that Imad and Naveen – they have had a lot of those high-dollar clients and have done really well in that area. And their average client is probably the highest of anybody. So that's great, Imad. How have you been doing going out there and doing the marketing? Because the networking stuff, is that kind of new for you, or have you done that for a while? Because I normally talk to Naveen about it. So.
No, that's new.
Okay.
That's
and how are you enjoying it?
I am usually in the office. That's my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like going out and meeting people. I have a couple of facilities that I am the one that's going to on a regular basis.
Great.
I am not successful yet, but I'm not giving up.
No, and we know from experience that sometimes, yeah, we know from experience that it takes, you know, when you go into a new facility, it takes, you know, 6, 8, 10 weeks.
That's right.
We just know that. I mean, it's just a fact because they're not going to refer you if they don't think you're going to be sticking around. So,
you know, Greg,
it does happen, but that's not usually the case.
Yeah. And then two of the clients that we picked up in April, one of them, we picked up two new clients. One of them doesn't want anyone to go there anymore. She said, I don't need home care. My family was making me get home care, but I don't need it. So
uh-huh.
I said, okay, we will stop the service. We'll put it on hold for a couple of months. And then we'll see how it goes, you know.
Now, did you contact her family?
She doesn't want us to contact the family.
I don't care what she does, whether or not she wants
doesn't.
You to do it.
No, but we don't have the information. We need the information from her.
Oh, so you didn't get a family contact from the very beginning, an emergency contact or anything like that?
No, she wouldn't, Naveen. Try it so hard to get a family contact.
Oh, okay.
And she would absolutely refuse to give her a family contact. She gave us her next door neighbor's name and address.
Okay. Well, maybe the neighbor can give you the information. Because I would let the family... Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how involved the family was to begin with. Because, you know, we ran across this situation all the time. Where the son or daughter would bring in, you know, would want to bring us in, and we would provide, you know, a week or two, and then, you know, sometimes it was only a day, and then the client would start in with, oh, I don't need help, I don't want you here. And, you know, that's where you have to pull in the family to say, look, you know, they're kicking us out, and, you know, you can't force yourself in, you have to respect their wishes.
Exactly.
But there's also ways that you can work with the family and not force it, but try to, you know, find out why she doesn't want anybody in there. You know, sometimes, you know, for example, if it's 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, so let's just say it's a 40-hour-a-week client, and they're saying, no, we don't need anybody. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't want anybody. It very well mean that they don't want anybody 40 hours a week. So, you know, you can work with people to say, okay, you know, what's the real, you know, reason here as to why you don't want us anymore. If it's truly because you don't need anybody, then that's fine. But a lot of times you can talk them into, well, why don't you just cut down to the bare minimum, which is just twice a week for 4 hours. Then, you know, Susie can come in and at least do your laundry and make sure that you're eating and do those kinds of things for you. And a lot of times that's what the objection really was. It was just that they didn't want to pay that much. And maybe they didn't need really that much. But I tell you what, I'd rather take that client and keep them for 10 years at 8 hours a week than lose them. Because I didn't want to negotiate the hours with them. And as we all know, that those 4 hour cases twice a week oftentimes will turn into, for us, they often, you know, 5-6 years later, they would turn into a live-in or a 24 hour, 7 day a week case, and we would stay with that person and, you know, for 6 months or whatever. As a live-in or a year as a live-in, well, you know, there's your income on the back end for it. So don't always take it right away. So I don't know, Iman, maybe you go back to her and say, look, you know, well, let me ask you this. How much was she doing to begin with?
She was 4 hours a day, 4 days a week.
4 days a week. Okay. So maybe you see if she wants to just do a couple hours a day, a couple days a week. You know what I mean? Offer her a shift service or something like that.
Okay.
It's just a thought. I mean, she may still say no. And, you know, then the other thing that you guys really have to look at is, you know, is this person safe without anybody there at all? So what, you know, do they have a plan? Because, you know, you guys you are mandated reporters. So if it's a situation where the client is not going to be safe, like if they've got dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that, then those are, you know, then we have to look at those on a case-by-case basis and see, you know, do they have a report?
Yeah,
and if they don't, then that has to be reported, yeah, so.
No, it's not like that.
She's not there.
She just had a pacemaker installed, and the family is afraid that maybe she'll pass out and nobody will be there.
Right, okay.
She could pass out any time, even if we're not there after our shift.
Yep, absolutely. But at least if you're coming, she only lays on the floor for a day as opposed to, you know, Lord knows how long.
That's what Naveen told her.
Yeah.
So if we still have her, we're still trying to work something out.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, but I understand what you were saying because I got a case like this that I got from one of my competitors. Didn't want to bother with a client to give her a shower twice a week.
Yep.
2 hours each time. This client now is 12 hours a day hourly.
There you go. So it's worth it. It's worth it in the long run to take those cases.
We don't turn down anything whatsoever. We will go 2 hours, we will go 3 hours, 1 hour. We don't turn down anything.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Susanna, you're up.
Yeah.
Next time I'll give you first shot, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not horribly disappointed. I would have said something if absolutely needed to say something. Do I have 2 minutes?
Yeah.
No, but what I kind of wanted to say was that I find that the clients, the potential clients, are more and more demanding, and that meaning that people do ask for 1 hour a day, and they ask for 2 hours twice a week, and they do ask to interview caregivers. Not only one, or to meet one caregiver or two. I mean, it's really necessary to, as far as I see it here where I am working, to be able to offer the potential clients this kind of services. And it does take a lot of time. I have to pay the caregivers to come out and visit, and many times the clients, I don't think they necessarily pick another agency, but they just decide maybe to wait, or they decide that they don't need a live-in, that they might have a need for just a couple of hours a week. But I find that this is something that I see more and more, and it takes a lot of time. And it takes a lot, it costs a lot of money to introduce caregivers like that. I had a potential live-in client that I have been working on for a couple of weeks, and I mean, I have been there probably 6 times visiting with different caregivers, and they like them all, and then I spend like an hour prior to the meeting with the family, introducing the caregiver to the family that we're going to be meeting. So it just goes on and on and on. And I don't really know. I mean, there's no really alternative. I mean, the alternative would be to say, well, I just don't, you know, I don't really deal with this kind of, and I always tell the family, we don't really have the client interview. The caregivers are already hired by us.
Yeah.
But that's what other agencies even say it in the ad, in the papers. They
yeah.
say, you know, you will be able to interview your own caregiver. You,
yeah.
you know, your so it's so I feel like this kind of it's just extremely time consuming. And,
let me speak to that though, because we started running up against a lot of this in Southern California. Has anybody else run across this interview the caregiver scenario?
Yeah.
Right. Iman has, because you're in Southern California, but outside of Southern California, has anybody else ran into this?
Yes, I have.
You have? Okay. You know, this is something that I don't know what these agencies are thinking. It's completely they try to make this as a ploy to get the client, right? And
mm-hmm.
from the client's point of view, mm-hmm. they think that it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you this. We never, never allowed it. We never allowed it, and we also, we didn't lose that many clients because of it. But it's very sensitive the way that you have to do this. The first thing is when the client says, well, can I interview the caregiver? The answer is, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to interview the caregiver? And they say,
and the answer, Greg, is that they will say, every time this had come up, they will say, my mom is going to have a living caregiver here.
Yep.
One caregiver is going to be here 4 days, the other one is going to be here 3 days or 5 days and 2 days.
Yep.
My mother wants to know that she really enjoys having this person around.
Absolutely.
And then I can say, you know, while you hire an agency, not the caregiver.
But there's a couple of things that you can reinforce with this though. Because that is true. You do say that. You say, But you have to understand.
All the time.
Yeah, you're hiring the agency and not the caregiver. First of all, the second thing is we do personality matching.
Yeah.
Mm.
We do personality matching. Mm. It's part of our 5-star guarantee that we have.
Mm. Mm.
So when we talk to you, Mr. and Mrs. Client, on our consultation, we ask you what you're looking for in a caregiver. What kind of personality do you have? We ask those things. We also ask the caregivers those same questions.
Mm.
So when we send out somebody, we understand that the personality is what is going to make or break this case. We understand it. We have enough experience to know that, mm. that that's going to happen.
Mm.
The reason,
and then, and
the
when,
reason
I, and when
why,
I say...
Right, but you have to go one step further and say... Other agencies that offer for you to interview their caregiver, this is a fallacy that caregiver is actually going to provide that service for you.
Hmm.
Because caregivers come and caregivers go. And if you're putting all of your hope into that caregiver that they send out to you, you know, there's a chance that caregiver won't even show up to the job. Because that's the way that other agencies operate. But you have to understand with us, if we send somebody out, try them for a couple of days. That's how you're really going to know whether or not you like them. If at that point you don't like them, we will send you a replacement. But to just do a 30-minute or hour interview or however long it is prior to signing up for care is going to just be a waste of your time in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
that's
they,
what we
you
would
know,
tell
I'm- And you know, I tell them all of this. And you know what? They even tell me, they look at me and they say, you know, we can tell by the way you act and the way you talk that you are very good at matching clients with caregivers. However, we still like to meet who you're planning to put on this.
Yeah. Well, then that's, you just, try just saying no. Try just saying no. Because, you
okay,
know,
well, then if they, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I think it's just kind of the way things have come to a point where,
we had that same scenario.
Yeah,
we had the same scenario. We had it several times, especially in the last few years of business, it was starting to become more and more of an issue. And I'm telling you, we refuse to do it because, Susanna, the thing about it is you send out all of these caregivers. You have to pay all of these caregivers to go out there, and then there's no guarantee that you're going to get the case anyway.
Of course not. Of course not. But what's the alternative? I mean, that would be then to say, no, our agency just doesn't do that, you know.
Yeah,
I just don't feel like doing that. It feels like, okay, so it's going to cost me, if I don't look at my own time, it's going to cost me maybe between $60 and $100 to introduce different caregivers. And of course, they're all excellent, I mean. And then the family might decide that they're not going to have 11, or they might.
Yeah.
At least it's a consultation, even if it wouldn't.
I'm telling you, we never lost a client, because when you explain to them that other agencies have to do this just as a ploy to get people to call them, and it means nothing in the long run, and just say, you know, we just don't do it. Either you trust me to take care of your mom or dad, or you, either you trust me to do it, or you don't.
And you know, Greg, and here in my area, Virginia, you know, you remember the challenges that I've had with selecting caregivers based on the preferences and the profiles that the consultation yields. And to me, it was up to me to go out there and either do a guerrilla hiring thing to find specific caregivers that matched up to that client. But I never had a client ask for an interview except this very last one that was a hospice case. But they didn't want to interview. They just wanted to make sure that they can meet the caregiver to see if that cancer patient was going to be able to like this, you know. I mean, that was the only time that I brought a caregiver in before the scheduled event occurred, and that was at a request of the client, that they just wanted to meet them ahead of time and not really interview them. They just wanted to meet them because, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that it's usually
the field supervisor or me or whoever goes out with the caregiver. And that relationship that you've already made with the client, that's supposed to help with the introducing the caregiver into the home.
Yeah, the perfect start, sure, going out there with them.
It's usually not the client that wants to meet different caregivers. Usually I find here where I'm working, you know, in North County.
Yeah,
it's the families. It's the children that flies in from New York or you know, from Minnesota or somewhere, and they spend a couple of weeks there setting things up, there's plenty of agency that will introduce caregivers. So,
right, but Susanna,
what
you have to do is you have to explain to them that they're putting when they do that, then what they're doing is they're putting their faith and the trust of their parents into the caregiver and not the agency. And you are the professional in the industry, you will tell them, I know that caregivers come and they go, and if you put your trust in this caregiver, there's nothing to say that person is going to be here in a day, a week, or a month. And so you have to put the trust in the agency. And these are the things that we do to make sure that your mom is going to like this person. Mm-hmm. If they don't, we will replace them. I promise you, we will replace them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did it that way and just said, you know, we're not going to do it because it's a joke, and agencies that do it, you know, it's because they don't have a very good system for monitoring their caregivers, and that's why they do it. They don't have a system for personality matching, and that's why they do it. And we do, therefore we don't do it. And if they can either, you know, if you're strong about it and not weak about it, they're going to trust you more. And if they don't, you know, what I'm going to say is that my experience has been, those clients tend to be complete and total pains in the butt.
Mm.
In the long run, they always end up costing you time because they need to follow your rules and not the other way around.
Mm. But, yeah. So, no, but I've actually never said to the client, the potential client, that other agency don't have, you know, this in place as far as the matching. I've never really drawn in other agencies' work model into the conversation. I've always focused on kind of what we do. So that might be something that, you know, possibly could be something that I could clarify a little better. I do feel like they trust me, but they also trust other agencies. You know, there's plenty of agencies to trust. And
they
have
to trust you more.
Yeah, but and I feel they do. But they still want to meet, they want to meet the caregivers. But that's, you know, this is just something that, it's something that I see, and I just feel like it takes, I'm pretty worn out right now.
Yeah, no, that's
because you're doing... and I think the most fun part right now, the good news is that I feel like I'm still, you know, standing, and the fun things is actually the marketing.
Yeah.
When the few times I tried to get out on Tuesdays, on Thursday, and the marketing actually, the way I feel about marketing is that it does give you a lot of energy. That's kind of where I feel like I'm doing what I should be doing.
Wow, that's great.
And, I think I've always felt like that. My problem is that I never really have a good office setup. It seems like there's always issues that I have to handle. And I'm sure that's something wrong with the way I'm doing things, but that's just how I feel. It's like when I think something is done and ready and set up in the office and that then something happened. Or So, you know, that's a shortcoming, I'm sure, with me. So, you know, it's not that, so.
Yeah, and you know what, and that's what Susanna said is so important. I mean, we've heard it from several people, even just today, you know, having that office stuff in place is so, so important. And that way you can get out there and do those things that you need to do. So, I know that you've got Sophie in there with you now, and you know, if we need to train her to, you know, handle some of these things, she can go around and do some of this stuff. I mean, she can take the caregivers and introduce them to clients. She can be your field supervisor. I mean, she's been around this enough to have the knowledge. You know, to do some of those things. And then, of course, you know, I'm always available for helping helping at any time with that stuff too. So, but yeah, I mean, if you try to do too much, you're gonna get burnt out. So, you know, that was one of the things that we talked about in the past too. About, you know, and I don't remember if I said this on a group call or if this was on an individual call. I had said, you know, you have to schedule time for yourself the same as you schedule for anything else. And, you know, whatever that time may be, whatever it is that you enjoy, whatever is a relaxing effort for you is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if it's Monday from 4 to 8, you know, you block that time off, and that's just an example, but you block that time off, and when somebody says, well, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that, or whatever, the answer is, I'm sorry, but I'm busy. And, you know, like yesterday, for example, I know that some of you were trying to get a hold of me yesterday, both through email and through the phone, and I didn't answer anything. Well, the reason is because one day a quarter, I have a group that I go to, and it's a leadership thing, and I turn off the cell phone and I don't answer the email. It's one day a quarter, but it's something for me that revitalizes me and energizes me. Mm. So, you know, it's a scheduled thing, and there's always going to be a crisis. There's always going to be somebody that needs something. That part is consistent. So what you need to do is, and everybody should be doing this, is, you know, take that time, whatever it is. I mean, it can just be even be a couple hours a week, and have that time as your time that you're doing, you know, whatever it is you're doing. It's really, unless you actually do this, you will not understand the power of what it is, because if you tend to be a workaholic and if you tend to be the one that does everything, you get burnt before you even realize that it's happening. And so start that. I highly recommend that you do it, whatever it is for you, and just take, you know, take a day a month or whatever, a day every 2 weeks. Guess what? The stuff is still going to be there when you get back, you know? That's my two cents on it. And, and then of course, you know, with all of you guys, the one-on-one mentoring stuff, if you're having specific struggles on specific issues, I mean, that's what we're here for. And you don't have to wait for these group calls. You don't have to wait for a scheduled call. I mean, if you've got, you know, for a good example is this caregiver interview thing. I mean, if it's being a problem, call us, because remember, we've done this for so many years. I mean, there's really not anything we haven't come up against. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, tell you what worked for us and what didn't. So, so that's my two cents. I'll go ahead and Suzanne, did you have anything else? But that was really good.
No,
thank you for sharing that.
No, no, I think
good.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I start next time.
Okay, yeah, next time Suzanne is up to bat first. Chris, are you still on?
I sure am.
So what did you think about this call? I mean, this is, sometimes they're really packed full of stuff, and sometimes they're a little bit more quiet, so... this is your first experience. And you guys, Chris has not started marketing yet. She's just finishing up all of her pre-opening stuff, and getting ready to probably start advertising for caregivers here, pretty quick. So, give her a little bit of encouragement on that. And, what did you think?
I think this is going to be great, to get everybody's feedback and let, you know, figure out what everybody else is doing and share what I'm doing. I'm anxious, very anxious to get to the marketing part, because I think that's going to be the fun part and the part that I'm going to enjoy, even though that I have not had any real sales experience. At least I don't think that I do. Dean seems to think that I do more than I'm giving myself credit of. But I'm anxious to get started on that part, because I am a very social person as well. I think it's going to be fun once I get into that part of it. But this has been a good experience. Just I'm sitting back and listening to everybody.
Yeah, take them off the good notes.
Taking it all in.
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and end the call now if anybody doesn't have anything. But for Chris and also for Vince, and actually for everybody, whether or not you are new or have been around a few times, you know, I recommend that you go back to the intranet and listen to some of those other group calls that we've had, because we've had a lot of really good ideas come out. And, you know, we don't always turn an idea into a program, or, you know, there's just not even enough time for us to do all that. But if you go back and listen to some of the stuff that people have done that has been successful for them, then, you know, part of marketing, especially in this industry, I mean, yeah, we will give you the foundation. We'll give you tools. If you need something, let us know. We'll create that for you if we don't have it already. But a lot of it has to do with you and your personality, and what makes you unique, and how do you turn that into something that is fun and exciting, that will bring people in to build those relationships, to give you the referrals. I mean, that's really what it's about. There's no magic in it. It's the magic is really in you. So the only thing I can really do is encourage you to actually go out there and do it, because it does take time. And like Jen said, you know, it takes the top 20 banging on the doors to just even find out who the people are. You know, sometimes it takes a little while. And it, along the way, you'll pick up clients, don't get me wrong. But the real powerful referral sources and the consistent referral sources, that happens over time when you build relationships. So,
you know, Greg, that little drill that we did a month ago with the strength-based leadership, when you find out what your top five strengths are, I think that's going to build a lot of confidence in supporting you out there in that marketing campaign and finding out what those strengths are, because it'll help build that confidence. That's what helped me out, because knowing that I'm a communicator, harmony, positivity, relator, and consistency, it just reinforces what I want to do out there when I go out there and do it.
Right. And, you know, that with the strength-based testing, some of you I've started the actual mentoring, and some of you I haven't started the mentoring, and some of you haven't even taken the test yet. So with that being said, you know, I'm available to do all of these things to help you in every facet of your business. Daphne's available, and now Joyce is available. But what I have to say to everybody is that we can't chase you. We're not going to chase you.
Yeah.
So we're here for you, but as we start adding more and more franchises on, you know, I can't spend my time chasing you down because you missed an appointment. So I fully expect for everybody to schedule an appointment with me and follow up with me on those appointments. And if you miss it, reschedule it, because that's what we're here for.
All right.
So, all right, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and end the call. And everybody,
all right,
please schedule an appointment with me or with Daphne, and we'll talk to
all
you
right
soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.